another tear would never fall, 'cause I'd give all of my all if we could work things out somehow. But she's not crying anymore, and she ain't lonely any longer. There's a smile upon her face, a new love takes my place. She's not crying anymore.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. July 4th cleanup after violent storms yesterday and overnight. 10 inches of rain over just a few hours in central Kerr County, Texas, caused flash flooding of the Guadalupe River. The sheriff's office confirms several deaths. County Judge Rob Kelly.
And I've been advised not to use any numbers. We do have some numbers, but we're not going to use them at this time.
Utility crews are fixing power outages after storms in the Northeast, killing at least three in New Jersey and North Plainfield.
Then I looked to my right and I saw the tree on the car, and I had realized that the whole sidewalk had come up.
From a garage outside Los Angeles last night, an explosion sending into the sky a fireball and fireworks. Woman's in critical condition after police say fireworks exploded, setting several homes on fire. Ukraine's President Zelensky says he and President Trump were on the phone today. On social media, Zelensky describes it as a good call. This is ABC News. A new rip current alert ahead of the holiday weekend in Miami. National spokesman for the American Lifeguard Association, Wyatt Wernith.
What I like to tell people is where there's a dip, there's a rip. Have you ever been on the beach and the tides come in and wet all your stuff, but the people along each side of you are dry? You're in the rip. Stay out of it.
Swimming parallel to shore may not always work. Experts now urging to keep your legs up, back of the head against the water, and using only gentle movements. Want to buy a piece of history? ABC's Jim Ryan.
A landmark in the music industry has gone up for sale. The Music Row building in Nashville, where artists like Johnny Cash and George Strait recorded their songs, is on the market for $4.6 million.
Our Jim Ryan, after a live performance drought that's been 16 years long, Oasis is due to take to the stage in Cardiff, Wales tonight, kicking off a hotly and somewhat anxiously anticipated reunion tour. After two nights in Wales, Oasis travels round this spinning ball of dirt. Chuck Severson, ABC News.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Find what you love, love what you find. A Total Wine and More, there's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer, thousands of wines. Guys in the know, when price is so low, it just might blow your mind. You're gonna find what you love and love what you find.
With curbside pickup and delivery available, you'll always find what you love, only at Total Wine and More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Bob Haig. Operation Dry Water runs through the July 4th weekend. Department of Natural Resources Conservation Warden Matt O'Brien says there's zero tolerance for boating while impaired.
Operation Dry Water puts thousands of federal, state, and local officers on the water.
Boaters should expect extra patrols on the water during the stepped-up enforcement effort. The Department of Natural Resources is stressing safe operation of ATVs and UTVs this weekend. The DNR's Jake Holsklaw.
Yeah, so I think a lot of folks are going to see some busyness out on the trails and routes this holiday weekend. We want to encourage folks to have a great time, but plan accordingly, use some wisdom in it, and make good decisions.
That includes wearing helmets, using seat belts, and riding sober. There have been 19 ATV-UTV fatalities in the state already this year. And keep safety in mind when you're handling fireworks. UW Health occupational therapist Alisa Virial.
No use of alcohol around fireworks at all. No homemade fireworks. Making sure that if you're lighting a firework as an adult, that you're lighting only one at a time and then quickly leaving that space, and that firework should never really be in your hand during the time of ignition.
Restoration of Milwaukee's Mitchell Park domes could receive some county funding.
County Parks staff are requesting $30 million for the domes project and to turn over operations to the group spearheading the restoration. The Milwaukee Domes Alliance is fundraising a total of around $133 million to fully renovate the site. The County Parks Committee will take up the proposal next week. The domes were constructed between 1959 and 1967 at an original cost of $4.5 million. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
You've got so much glorious summer to fill. What are you going to do with it? Easy answer. Do it your way at MOA. Do it up with Nickelodeon Universe's Ultimate Summer Party, Dora's 25th Anniversary Celebration, slimy fun events and hair-raising rides. Do Crayola Experience for the littlest ones. And here's a bright idea. Do it smart with MOA attraction bundles and the no-worries 72 degrees and sunny forecast every day. That's your summer, your way at MOA. Mallofamerica.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
Mostly sunny, hot, and humid today. We're going to get to around 93 for a high this afternoon, but that heat index is going to be climbing into the upper 90s to near 100. Tonight, we'll drop into the low to mid 70s. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms with a high in the mid 80s. If your bathroom needs a remodel, go all out. Get what you've always wanted and do it for $99 a month interest-free at BCI Bath & Shower, 800-329-4115. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 86.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Kick off an even bigger celebration for the U.S. in the year ahead. The markets are closed, government offices are closed, and we're going to take a trip across the countryside with one of our favorite Farm Journal podcasters.
From Independence Day in the USA via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we do turn our view to the American countryside with Andrew McCray. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chuck Blory.
What in the world have you got on?
Rootin', tootin', freedom, brother. That's what we're all about over here today. That's right. That's it. Mm-hmm.
All right. Love it. Love it, mm-hmm. man. You are looking good. For all those that are watching on Farm Journal TV, you've got to appreciate the handsome newsman's decor today. Mm-hmm. Good stuff, buddy. Mm-hmm. Good mm-hmm. stuff. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us on this 4th of July, 2025. So it's a big day to celebrate, but I'll admit it's not as big a day to celebrate as what it will be 1 year from today. Ooh. When America is celebrating its 250th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that?
I'm excited about that. I don't know what I'm going to wear yet, but I should probably start thinking about it.
You should start thinking about it. You should. And I mean, and, you know, let's get past the Speedo. Let's get past some of that stuff and be a little more creative, huh? I mean, we all appreciate the Speedo, Davis, but it, you know.
The maybe classics never go out of style is the thing. Yes. And maybe I'm a little dogmatic about that. I could try, you know, maybe some board shorts, you know, maybe some pants.
Something. Any. All right, man. Yeah. Hey, we've got a very special broadcast for you today.
Yeah, this will be cool.
Andrew McCray, one of our favorite podcasters and syndicated broadcasters here at Farm Journal, has Farming the Countryside. We're going to take some of the highlights from Farming the Countryside and some of the conversations that Andrew has had. We're going to visit those today. I'm looking forward to that very, very much. So,
yeah.
How about you? Know, everything recently, good?
Everything is great. I recently was lucky enough to tape a Grow Getters with Andrew McCray.
Really?
Just kind of dig into his brain a little bit. Yep. Fascinating. I can't wait to hear what he's got for us today.
Yeah, I don't think what people understand about Andrew is that this dude is a serious cattleman.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they love seeing Andrew out there, and the work that he has done with FFA in the past and everything, it's really, really cool. But when I was on his ranch down in Missouri here a couple of years ago and saw the expanse of the cattle operation that he's got, man, oh, man, oh, man, that is an impressive operation down there. So, looking forward to the conversation there. So have you got some news for us?
Yeah, you know, everything's closed today. So what I've done, it was a breakneck pace to get through the first 4 days of this week. Let's just take a minute to revisit some of these stories. USDA's planted acreage report increased corn acreage and showed fewer soybean, wheat, and cotton acres. Corn planted area estimated at 95.2 million acres, up by 5% from last year. That's the third highest corn planted acreage in the U.S. since 1944. The grain stocks report found less corn and more soybeans and wheat in storage.
Right. It's hard to believe that report, the acreage report and the grain stocks reports, came out this week. Yeah. It's absolutely fascinating. Yeah. And one of the conversations that we had on the afternoon show this week with Matt Bennett from agmarket.net, he took that acreage conversation from this year to next year already and started trying to see, okay, what does that acreage report mean for us for next year? This is a big, big corn year. You said it. What is it? The third biggest on record, something like that?
Since 1944, yes, sir.
Since 1944. So if it's a big corn year this year, can you do it again next year, or do our corn acres start to come back? You want to talk about connecting dots. Matt did a great job.
Yeah, he sure did. Here's another important story from earlier this week. USDA will reopen ports of entry from Mexico for cattle, bison, and equine imports. That's in phases beginning as early as July 7, starting in Douglas, Arizona, which it said is the lowest risk entry point due to its location and the, quote, long history of effective collaboration between officials in Sonora and USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. We've been waiting for that border to reopen. A new world screwworm is what shut us down.
Right. The two most active ports that were open before this latest shutdown are not even on the list. They're not even on the list. So this is not a slow reopening of the Mexican border to feeder cattle trade. This is an ultra slow reopening of that border. And for those that thought that this cattle market was just going to get flooded with feeder cattle, that's part of the reason that we saw the big downdraft in feeder cattle prices earlier this week. And then the feeder cattle market and even the live cattle market started to grind back and basically got back all of those early week losses by the time things wrapped up trade yesterday. It was a pretty phenomenal week in the cattle complex.
Well, we talked a little bit about biofuels. Growth Energy says Americans will potentially save over $10.1 billion in fuel costs this summer thanks to an emergency waiver issued this year by the EPA. The waiver allowed for the continued sale of E15 throughout the summer. We talked with Chris Bliley earlier this week.
Yeah, from Growth Energy. And one of the things that we talked about was the budgeting process out in California and what they are doing to be the 50th state to open up for sales of E15. 50th. California, with all the progressive actions that they've taken on clean fuels in the past, is going to be the final state to okay sales of E15. I found that very interesting. But what it does is it shows us that somebody in California has come to the realization that combustible engines are going to be around for a while longer.
Well, and we spoke with Jim Minturch as well from Purdue. Yeah. Farmer sentiment weakened sharply in June after 2 months of improvement, according to the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer. The overall barometer dropped 12 points to 146, driven mainly by a steeper decline in producers' future outlook.
Yeah. Trade and the uncertainty of trade has crept into farmer sentiment, I think, is what the latest Ag Economy Barometer told us. And there is still support out there across the countryside for what President Trump and his trade team are pursuing. Mm-hmm. It's just that there is a greater realization, I think, that along with the potential for some long-term gain, there is going to be some short-term pain in the process. It could be part of the reason that corn had so much trouble getting up and running, and we ran into the 4th of July with some short covering. So, all right, Davis. Hey, good recap, buddy. Thanks.
You betcha.
All right, stay with us, everybody. We are going to make the jump over to Andrew McCray. Happy 4th of July, everybody. We'll talk to you this afternoon here on AgriTalk.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to FarmJournalTV.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at FarmJournalTV.com.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-515-1548.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-515-1548. That's 800-515-1548.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.51% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Dave Hoodle joins me. Charles City, Virginia.
You and Randy Dowdy, you talk about two guys fairly well known out there in farming. Talk about what you guys are doing on the podcast network, so to speak.
Yeah, well, Andrew, I'm a guy. I'm not a social media person, so I don't hardly ever listen to podcasts. And it's called Breaking Barriers with R&D. So I guess for Randy and David. The cool thing about it is, you know, it's broke up into a couple segments. We talk about, like we're going to do today, what's going on in Virginia. We talk about what's going on in Georgia or Dowdy Farm, some in Michigan now, or what's going on across the country. And then we either do a producer highlight or we talk with some kind of vendor of some sort to talk about things that a farmer could be doing. We film it on a Tuesday and it's aired on Friday every other week. So it's timely information that growers can impact their crop this year.
Let's talk about some of the practices you use. So is there a tried and true method that you like to use as far as what you plant and when you plant in the fall?
Yeah, well, all right. There are cover crop programs out there. I mean, we get cost share to help do that. But if you're planting a crop, you got to treat it like a crop. You know, oftentimes people look at a cover crop, hey, we're just going to broadcast or get an airplane, fly it on, and then expect it to do wonderful things. When we're doing a cover crop, we're seeding it just like we would a cereal crop. I prefer oats as a cover crop for several reasons. You know, they're easy to kill. And then number two, they break. There's a disease cycle called take-all that infects small grain, and it infects wheat, barley, and rye. They're a host for it. Oats will break that host cycle. We've tried the tillage radish. They're great. I mean, they do a good job. They oftentimes die when it gets really cold. It was a year that it was warm all winter. When we chemically killed them, it smelled like a propane leak. Well, you know, I don't need something to fall on my head. That's like, okay, good project. Let's not do that again. Different this year. I'm because of the seed business, we don't want to plant vetches, but we did try some Austrian winter peas. They look tremendous. They say that they'll put off 150 some pounds of nitrogen. We were thinking about killing them, but now we're thinking about harvesting them. So hadn't decided, and beans are going to be there rather than corn. So I would say if a grower is going to look at cover crops, treat it like a real crop, plant it the way accordingly you would plant small grain or vetch or tillage radish. You know, plant it, manage it. Sometimes put just a hint of fertilizer gives it a good start so you get a good root system, and then just kill it. So whether you kill it just before you plant or after you plant, but just there are advantages because there's biology around those roots. When it dies, you got your new crop that you're raising for grain. Biology just moves right to those roots. So, and then it holds the world together, whether it's dust or rain or erosion.
I'm sure you hear this with different farmers that you work with, especially as you move into further northern climates. You may have a little bit more of a time window. So what do you say? Just, okay, it doesn't matter. You just got to go in and get it done. And that's just the way it is. Don't give me this excuse of I don't have time and I don't have enough growing season.
One of the things that I oftentimes like to share with growers, you can't harvest all your crop at one time. We do a really good job planting their spring crops. And we can plant them in a, you know, a week, 10-day, two-week window. But can you harvest it all in that window? No, we can't. It takes us weeks and weeks and months to harvest it. So maybe in a rotational cycle, pick some of your ground that you harvest first and say, all right, we're going to put cover crops on this. So the first crop that comes out, whether it's the shortest season corn or your soy, plant a cover crop behind that. And then maybe next year you have a different spot that's going to be your first. So just to try it. And I'm not saying growers need to go do it on every acre. Try it, see if it fits their program. And if it does, then they can expand it on more. And if you see an advantage to it and it ROIs makes you more money, I think growers are going to, you know, kind of gravitate towards it.
What are you using to seed those cover crops usually then?
We got a John Deere air seeder. With a commodity cart, so an 1890 and a 1910, 40-foot air drill. So we can cover a lot of acres in a day. And, you know, every acre does not get cover crop. Wherever we have our small grain seed production, I can't do it because we got to rotate it and keep it clean. So those acres don't. But wherever we have ground that's just corn and soy, we will put cover crops there.
You know, we opened up by, and you mentioned that things are tighter, of course, for a lot of growers. There's not as much margin there. I'm just curious, has that changed anything that you do on the front end? Or do you say, no, you need to spend the money because you've always got to grow the crop? And so, in a sense, it doesn't matter what that price at the end is.
Well, I don't think. When we have a depressed grain market, we need more bushels. And then what does that do? That doesn't help the market, but we need more bushels on air. And unfortunately, somebody's going to have a bad crop, whether it's here in the U.S. or somewhere in South America or on this planet. Somebody's going to have an unfortunate crop, and then we got to have bushels. So growers need to know what pays, what works and what doesn't work. Now, we do a lot of trials. You know, I don't know. I hate to say how many trials because I haven't figured it up, but I don't want to. Technology from John Deere, we just entered in this monitors, and then we are able to collect that data after season, you know, post-mortem to understand what we did. But there are certain things that we won't give up and say, hey, I know it costs me money, but we always see those returns. It's like products we put in furrow, like a relay product. Starter, we're not going to give up starter. Things we did this year to help manage costs, we went a lot of chicken litter. We see advantages to that long term, not just short term. So that's not helping my nutrient salesman one bit when I'm putting out chicken litter. But then outside of that, managing their inputs like pesticides, you know, what fungicides are we going to use? When are we going to use them? And then, you know, herbicides, you know, we just can't have diseases. So we just focus on the whole bottom line portion of it.
How are you evaluating the multitude of products that are out there that I think can do a lot of good, but how do you evaluate and what do you use?
Well, as a grower, you go to a trade show, you see all these things and you get excited about it. Just pick a couple companies, evaluate them. You know, I work a lot with ROI Biological, Cody Gones. I like stuff that he's got. His humic acids are good. I like his products that he gives us downstream. He provides us. So let's break this away. I don't get stuff free. And then there's another company, Genesis Ag. You know, that's like my other biological company. So we're evaluating other ones, but, you know, pick a couple, try them. Don't try a lot of acres. Just try a few acres with and without, and then let the yield monitor tell you. I like to go out there, pull tissue samples just to get a better understanding. But the advantages are just, you know, phosphorus, nitrogen efficiency. Now we're talking about potash, probiotics, keeping the crop disease free, you know, and insect free. So a lot of these things, there is excitement. I don't have all the answers. I'm trying to figure it out myself.
Well, you know, I feel like I'm the same way, and I've tried out some of these products and I can see differences, and it isn't always yield monitor, but it could be savings on other types of products. And sometimes they don't show up until you have that bad year, that drought year. Any things that you're seeing that do they work every year? Is it certain years? Because I think there's so much there we just don't know yet.
Yeah, well, there are some things that we do in furrow that it's more going to help when you have that cool, wet spring. It's like insurance. How many times do we buy insurance? We write that check, and we hope we never claim on it. Well, some of these products we're putting out in furrow to give us that protection. And then let's say it was like this year, we just had a great spring. I mean, it quit raining. We planted. We had temperatures, corn coming up 6-7 days. Everything's going well. All that money we spent in furrow, we'll see some benefit, but it's not the results that we would have seen if it was a cool, wet spring. So I'm not one to say this year it didn't work, so cut it out. You got to look. You got to evaluate things for multiple years. If it makes good walking sense and one year it doesn't work, try the second year and see if it does work. If it doesn't work 2 years, you know, pull it out of your system. But I am a believer, like you just said, Andrew. You got to try some things, and you got to evaluate whether it worked on that year or another year.
I know we would have way too much that we couldn't get to, but I do want to give you a chance here to wind up. Anything that you would like to share that, hey, this has worked really well, or don't do this, or what have I learned in the last year that I want to share some wisdom here at the end of the show that I've learned here in the past year?
Now that guys have finished planting corn and soybeans, the number one thing growers got to focus on is their planter. And that's with anybody. Really spend time. Go back out there and do some post-planting process evaluations. See if things worked out well. And then, you know, we can't do anything in furrow. So the next thing is, as you're doing, I guess the one big tidbit I would say, as you're adding fertilizer, really consider adding some humic acids in there, whether it's foliar or as we're wide dropping or easy dropping. That would be one thing, you know, you can try some with and without, and then manage your crop the rest of the way. Treat it like a crop, even though inputs are tough, you need bushels.
Right. Well, we'll hope we grow some bushels, and we'll hope we get a little bit of a price increase here on the back end somewhere, right?
Yeah, you and me both.
David, I appreciate the time. Great conversation.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
My fiancé is a veteran.
I did tours in Korea, Germany, and Bosnia before I got injured.
When Yusuf got out of the military, he needed help getting his disability benefits.
Luckily, DAV came to the rescue. They fought for me the same way that I fought for my country.
Every year, DAV provides life-changing support to more than a million veterans.
My victory is never giving up and finding more ways to serve.
He's pretty amazing.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
As Security Financial Bank, we understand what it takes to grow what matters. We know success doesn't happen overnight. It takes honest work, day in and day out. We value trust, leadership, and service. We are SFB, bankers who believe in your business, your family, your future. Bankers who believe in you. Learn more at sfbank.com. Member FDIC.
Looking for a new skid steer loader, compact track loader, or UTV? Take the challenge. Go head-to-head against other brands, comparing quality, comfort, or performance. Bobcat machines are the best in the industry. But don't take our word for it. Visit BobcatAdvantage.com or visit us in person at Comroe Sales and Service, your authorized Bobcat dealer in Durand. Call us today, 715-672-4263, to learn more.
When you don't feel good now, you want to see a doctor now. At Amplify Health, we get it. Our primary care is built around what you need, when you need it. We offer same-day in-person or video appointments with a primary care provider. That's family medicine, pediatrics, and internal medicine. Because sometimes feeling seen and understood means actually being seen. Primary care from Amplify Health. A little empathy changes everything.
Feed costs can add up fast. At Alcivia, they help you lock in pricing on key commodities through forward contracts. They source directly, run their own trucks, and move product efficiently through the Fall River facility. The result? Competitive pricing and reliable supply. Protect your margins, reduce risk, and plan ahead. Visit Alcivia.com or call Alcivia today at 608-819-4401. 608-819-4401 to talk strategy.
You are invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek August 5th through the 7th for this year's Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, celebrating generations of progress with a chance to explore cutting-edge equipment and innovative technology, taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There are scheduled dairy tours, field demonstrations, hundreds of industry booths, and great family entertainment. Be there August 5th through the 7th. Bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, joins me. And Sean, it lives north of the border. He is in Canada. Sean, I appreciate the chance to visit with you. And I know, of course, you're in this country quite a bit too. But for those that don't know, talk about Real Agriculture and your background in farming, very much tied to the farm in Alberta, I believe, correct?
Yeah. Southern Alberta, Feedlot Alley. I think it's the fifth largest cattle feeding area in North America. So very substantial from a beef perspective. I grew up on we had a feed yard, but we also had a seed farm. So I kind of grew up on the seed side of the business. So I guess gained experiences and some business calluses selling seed to neighboring farmers my entire life, which, I really did love. But destined for the media business. So, grew up hour north of the Montana border, 2 hours south of Calgary, right in southern Alberta there, like I said, in Picture Butte. And in 2008, I started moonlighting, basically created I bought the URL realagriculture.com and just started doing a little bit of writing, like sort of my perspectives. And it was kind of meant, honestly, for some of our seed customers. So I started sending out a weekly email on Fridays to about 300 people that were in my contacts. Most of those contacts were like, what are you doing? Like, you remember, this is like now content marketing would kind of be like, oh, yeah, this makes sense. Everybody's doing this. But at the time in 2008, it was not the case. YouTube was kind of fresh on the scene. Twitter at the time was, you know, you were sort of different if you had a Twitter account. And those were really timed well for us to get exposure to a broader audience in very quick order. And all these years later, things have really taken off. This is my more than full-time gig. And we've got, I think, like something like 17,000 email subscribers across Canada, and obviously a show that we do on satellite. And I got a couple terrestrial radio shows we do on the weekend in Canada. And I couldn't feel more lucky and fortunate.
And now, where are you based? Are you still in Alberta, or have you moved?
No, I'm in Lethbridge, Alberta.
Okay, are okay.
But I spend a considerable amount of time in both Canada and the U.S. I feel very fortunate to get to do that. I think there's a lot of people in the world of agriculture that really see the industry. It's a very diverse industry, as you know, and the audience knows. But somebody's like they're a corn expert in Nebraska, or, you know, the dairy expert in Quebec, Canada. And very few people get to see the industry through so many different lenses and angles. And I feel fortunate to be one of those people that gets to do that. It's an absolute honor, and it's a responsibility to try to communicate that back to the audience all the time, and I just love it.
Well, I appreciate the job you do, and of course, folks hear you all the time on AgriTalk and other outlets, of course, through Real Agriculture as well. And, you know, I joked with you before coming on that I feel like I'm the typical U.S. farmer that I feel like I kind of know U.S. agriculture, but when it comes to Canada, I don't know much. I mean, and I'm tempted to say, well, maybe there isn't that much difference. Maybe agriculture's agriculture. But give me a 101 lesson here real quick. What is it that most American farmers don't understand about Canadian agriculture? And I know that is so broad, but you see it all the time. When you talk to American audiences, what do you have to clue us in on first?
Well, I spend a lot of my time, pretty much every day of my life, explaining Canada to Americans and America to Canadians. It's kind of what I do. It is very similar. Like, for the most part, there is a bit of a separation point. Like, U.S. agriculture, there's diversity, but it's much more fluid, right? In Canada, the Canadian Shield really breaks up the country and the Rocky Mountains. So there is a little bit of agriculture in British Columbia on the East Coast. A lot of that is dairy and cattle ranches, very Oregon-like, Washington sort of feel. Of course, then you get in the Western Canadian prairies, which is really no different than the Northern Plains. Farming in Montana and farming in North Dakota is really not that different than Alberta or Manitoba. Very similar crops. And then when you get to Eastern, Central and Eastern Canada, so like Ontario, Quebec, and the Maritimes, then we're a little bit similar to Ohio, Michigan, getting into New York and Vermont and places like, you know, that border, it's a real border, of course, But agriculture kind of flows back and forth. And that's why the two industries are so integrated. They are very similar, but they are different in the fact that Canadian agriculture is smaller. A lot of times for simple math, we use a 10 times factor. So if the Canadian industry is X, the U.S. industry is probably 10X in that. That's kind of a simple rule. It's not always the case, but that is kind of a lot of times how we do the math. Ontario would be our largest corn market, for example. But, you know, if you look at an acre standpoint, I just saw a piece of data here today. Ontario is about 40% of the Iowa acres. So, it's just not the same scope and scale from that standpoint. And probably a lot of companies look at Canada as like, no different than like a state operation. But Canada, is a world player from an export perspective, heavily export reliant, and it competes very, one-on-one with the U.S. in a lot of those markets, whether it's Asia or Europe or any of the other export targets.
We had NAFTA, and then in the first Trump term, we renegotiated that. I'm interested, what were Canadians' thoughts on that trade deal now that we moved into the second Trump term? Did they feel like that new negotiation in the first Trump term had been a good trade deal, or how did Canadian agriculture view it? And was it time to try something new now?
Yeah, it probably depends on who you talk to. And I'm looking at it by commodity. So if you look at the exportable commodities, pork, beef, field crops like wheat and canola, very similar to the U.S. industry. We buy your stuff, you buy our stuff. Like stuff's moving back and forth, sort of like a car. A beef animal will move across the border maybe three or four times between being born and being in a box, right? And I think people were happy post-trade deal, and they still remain happy. And when we get into the renegotiation of this USMCA deal, they'll probably be saying the same thing. Dairy, poultry, their supply managed in Canada, they felt like they gave some things up again, which is a bit of a trend in Canada. From their perspective, they probably didn't like it. Not the end of the world, but it's sort of a shake of the tree of their pillars of supply management. And I think, if you look at the first USMCA dispute panels that went on, they were all around dairy. So there are probably going to be discussions about dairy market access, those definitions, those TRQs. It's the same thing we've been arguing about for like, it feels like the past 10 years. Those issues are still the issue, but we'll figure them out and we'll move forward and be great trade partners going forward. I'm sure of it.
In the time we have left, of course, Canada and the U.S. and agriculture, very similar is probably some of the economics. But I'm curious, right now for crop farmers, tight margins. We wonder if we can make money on some of these acres, not only last year, but going forward. Beef industry doing very well. Very similar, I'm guessing, in Canada, what you see right now in Canadian agriculture, too.
Absolutely the same. And it's kind of interesting. You look at the western half of the U.S., concerned about moisture, same with western Canada. Eastern Canada, where a lot of the corn and beans are, what can I get from a corn yield? So there's some bearish tones to this corn market. So, how low does the price go? Where does my yield need to be in order to eke out this year? There's a lot of concerns about profitability. One of the differences, though, if you compare our Canadian Farmer Sentiment Index numbers, which is essentially a mirror of the Purdue Ag Barometer, it's interesting. When you think about future expectations, the U.S. farmer is doubly optimistic of the Canadian farmer right now. And the reason is it's simple. It's the political wind. The Purdue Ag Barometer is at a 4-year high. Even with some of the profitability concerns that are out there, they feel that the politics is on their side to get them through this, which, a lot of people believe that, we could see some payments to the U.S. farmer at the back end of the year.
For Canadian farmers, that level of confidence has gone down. Is that
right?
And it's just because of all this trade turmoil? Is that?
I think so. And politics not being on their side. Remember that Canadian farmers don't vote Liberal. It's one of the similarities. Again, urban people voting Liberal, rural people voting Conservative. It's the same in the U.S. and it's the same in Canada. And so I think that's creating some of that uncertainty going forward in terms of what do those next 5 years look like. It's really kind of, I think, about the attitude.
Yeah. We've talked about so many similarities, and of course there are so many, but are there any things going on in Canada right now that are peculiar to Canada and agriculture there that perhaps not hitting the radar in the United States? I like to ask that because you're there and you know so much and you see it through your lens.
Oh man, you put me on the spot here. I I think it's the discussion about supply management. That is one of the differences for sure in the systems. And there's a little bit – what's interesting is that, you know, based on some of the stuff that President Trump says, it gets Canada all riled up. And it's like, you know, is President Trump going to end supply management? Well, no, the U.S. dairy groups aren't even asking for that. They're just asking for something else. Canada's having a discussion with itself about this. And there are good arguments to keep supply management. There's good arguments to get rid of it. And eventually it's going to come more to the head. But I really think that's something that makes Canada very unique, is the fact that poultry and eggs and dairy products are under the supply managed system going back decades for a certain reason. And Canadians asking themselves, you know, is this the best choice going forward? And if it is, let's keep it. And if it's not, maybe we need to make some changes.
Sean, great conversation. Before we wind up, tell people how they can find you, because you're out there on many media platforms.
Yeah, well, of course, our website is realagriculture.com. We produce a ton of different podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. I do Real Ag Radio on Sirius. And as well, maybe you'll catch me. I'm speaking all over the U.S. and Canada these days. So hopefully if you do see me at an event, come up and say hi.
Well, and thank you for informing us so we sound a little bit more knowledgeable about our neighbors to the north.
Hey, man, I appreciate your interest, and we will always be friends.
Remember, you can follow Farm in the Countryside and our daily show, American Countryside, on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Just type in Farm in the Countryside or American Countryside to find those social media pages. And you can hear these Farm in the Countryside programs in a variety of ways as well. At farmingthecountryside.com, on your favorite podcast platform, and many radio stations.
Find what you love, love what you find. A total wine and more, there's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer, thousands of wines. Guides in the know when price is so low, it just might blow your mind. And love what you find.
With curbside pickup and delivery available, you'll always find what you love, only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
I want to learn how to cook, but I keep ordering takeout.
Accomplishing goals is hard, but when your goal is to learn a new language, Babbel makes it easy. In just 15 minutes a day, Babbel will help you start having conversations in as little as 3 weeks. Words and phrases you'll actually use. So when someone asks,
"How's your French going?"
you can say,
Babbel facilite grandement l'apprentissage d'une nouvelle langue.
Now save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time. The next time you're out to dinner with friends, you can order the shrimp cocktail for the table. And maybe you'll realize it only comes with 4 shrimp after you've already given away 3, but that one shrimp will be so good. And if you switch and save hundreds, you could get shrimp all the time. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For shrimp. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Give me those sauces, grab the chicken strips, let's dunk them in there. There's nothing like it. Hey, I'm Joey.
And I'm Josh.
And we're team members at our local Chick-fil-A.
And a little thing you'll love about the Chick-fil-A chicken strips is dipping them in our sauces.
My sauce is the barbecue sauce. If you wanted to add sweet, tangy flavors, there's nothing like it.
I love the garden herb ranch sauce, but if you want a little bit more kick in the spicy side, you can mix it with buffalo sauce.
Dipping them in our sauces, it is perfection.
It's the summer of Chick-fil-A chicken strips and sauces. Order now on the Chick-fil-A app. Team members paid for their testimonials.
Speaking in public, the list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Bugs can wreak havoc on post-harvest stored grain and eat away at your bottom line. At Central Life Sciences, we believe in making every kernel count. Our Gravista and Diacon IGR family of products are proven solutions for post-harvest insect control, providing lasting protection as grain is being loaded into storage. Visit bugfreegrains.com to learn how you can make every kernel count.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife,
and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936. Again, 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
Learn from the experts at Yield Academy in Rochester, Minnesota on August 21st. Use promo code AGRITALK for a 50% discount. Go to FarmJournalYieldAcademy.com.
Matt Clark with Terrain joins me. And Matt, I appreciate you joining me. And world population is something that, yeah, maybe it's in the back of our minds, but as farmers, we may not think a whole lot about because we're out there simply to produce food and make a living and hopefully do a good job at it. But we do have to think about consumers. Let's jump right into this. World population, it's hard to count all the souls on the planet. But we believe that we may be peaking a bit earlier with world population than we thought. And it looks like Terrain definitely believes that we are peaking earlier than projections had told us even 10 or 20 years ago. Is that right?
That's right. So if you were to go back to, 1990, for example, most of world population projections were, hey, the world isn't going to peak, or if it does, it's somewhere past that 2100 period of date. So you could look at UN data or others from those kind of period. And if you think about ag, most of the meetings in that kind of 1990s all the way through the early 2000s focused on this idea of we've got this ever-growing pool of people that we have to feed. And the mantra was clearly like, let's feed the world, let's grow exports, globalization. You kind of went through that whole process of U.S. ag, which was all very good, very positive for U.S. ag. But if you look at UN projections today, they're expecting that peak to be sometime before 2100, and they've continually moved that global peak sooner and sooner. And if you were to look at some of their lower projections, which are consistent with Terrain projections, that peak may only be about 40 years away, 30 for some, depending on what crops you do and who your export partners are, et cetera.
Yeah, and when we look at the world, it might be important to note some countries have already peaked, Russia a long time ago, but China has already peaked, at least that's what we think, perhaps in the last couple of years or so.
Yeah, and that's what their own government's reporting too. So whether you believe the UN data or others or their own governmental data, they're all saying they peaked. But yeah, you mentioned some important ones. We have China, have Russia, you have Japan, you have South Korea, all peaked. Most of Europe has peaked. Kind of start adding that up. Well, that's a pretty good chunk of our exports for things like sorghum, for things like soybeans. Or if you were to go into some of the nut crops, which also rely on some of those areas, that's a pretty good chunk of our export demand that has peaked. That doesn't mean that they will stop eating or stop consuming less. It just means that growth is going to be predicated on prosperity and not population and more mouths to feed.
When we look at those world populations, what has been the impact to help us reach this peak, so to say, in world population quicker than we thought?
So the fertility rate discussion or live births per woman, for example, or you know, how many births does each individual have, is a pretty nuanced discussion. It's probably a little bit past me too, to be honest. So Dr. Matt Wolf on Train Team, he's done most of that work. But one of the things that his work, if you go out to Train's website, you can see the Big Shrink highlights, is there's not a lot of consistency for why fertility rates have declined so much. Generically, as incomes rise, so too has an inverse effect with fertility rates going down. A lot of that's just cost of living. I mean, you just think about how much it takes to raise 3, 4, 5 kids in today's world here in the U.S. We've seen that, right? I mean, it's expensive, whether that's daycare and school and all the things that are part of that. That's certainly had some effects. Whether that's the same for each individual country and, you know, applying it across the board, it's a little bit nuanced. But we do know this, generically speaking, fertility rates across the board have declined significantly, faster than we would have thought, certainly back in like the 1990s. That's one. And two, there's no consensus on how to change that trend. Even the most authoritarian countries that are, you know, really paying and sort of demanding it to go higher, such as China, are having trouble getting that to change. Countries that have offered massive benefits to offset the cost, such as Japan or most of Europe and large parts of South Korea, again, have seen limited change. So as a result, we're just kind of in the stagnant period where fertility rates have declined, or at least asymptoted at a level that's below replacement.
Let's talk about some places, though, that are still growing. Most of Africa is still growing, and the peak would be down the road. And what about India? Because it is now perhaps past China. It will pass China. We don't know exactly when that's happened, but India, most populous nation in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and their peak is out there a little ways further, right? So Africa, we think the peak is much further out there, post 2100. And then there's other areas in Southeast Asia that are still growing as well. So all of those, great examples. Also, countries that don't buy a lot of our exports for a lot of reasons. And you've seen, you know, the recent trade negotiation kind of discussion that's out there. You've started to hear a lot more about India and just kind of, well, how can we crack that market that's been historically hard to crack, right? And so I think you're seeing that narrative on the undertones, if you will, kind of play out that, hey, these countries that are still growing, that we think we can get more of our product to, that have large consumer bases, that probably have a room to grow their income as well, could be real good sources of demand in the future. In the moment, for the most part, for most of our commodities, not all, but for most of our commodities, they're not huge buyers, unfortunately.
Well, let's talk about those exports, because as your data shows, and you mentioned the Big Shrink that folks can find on the Terrain website, which is interesting reading. We have seen exports over the years continue to grow. So that has probably been good for U.S. farmers. Mm-hmm. But will we have to change where we are trying to export? You mentioned Africa. We talked about India. Are those markets then that we need to work on? Have other countries done a better job of opening those exports? Or how do we look at the next few decades down the road and continuing to try to increase demand in those areas?
Great question. So if you go out to the report, we have a couple different ideas that we're putting out there. And it's going to be nuanced for every different commodity, but some bigger picture ideas. First, if you think about the job, and you mentioned it before we get too far down the path, if you think about the job that our commodity export groups, as well as, you know, support from some of the USDA groups and others have done, they've done a really good job. Exports over a long period of time have grown. Most of them have a very diverse base, not all of them. Some like sorghum are heavily tied to just a few countries, which is problematic. But most have a diverse base. Most have a fairly stable base of countries. And as a result, we've seen for U.S. ag producers a real blessing, opening up these commodities, giving us an opportunity to grow our farms while still growing income. Going forward, to your point, it needs to look a little bit different. Over time, we can develop that. How can we think about capturing some of that value chain here at the farm level? And in doing so, that's not only going to grow exports, but it will also, most importantly, grow incomes. Again, helping some of those transitions as we move decades out along the path.
Matt, great conversation. I know I've learned a lot, and I hope others have as well. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Andrew.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. you'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Hi, Zoe Saldana. Welcome to T-Mobile. Here's your new iPhone 16 Pro on us.
Thanks. And here's my old phone to trade in.
You don't need a trade-in. When you switch to T-Mobile, we'll give you a new iPhone 16 Pro. Plus, we'll help you pay off your old phone up to $800, and you still get to keep it.
There's always a trade-in.
Not right now at T-Mobile.
I feel like I have to give you something in return for karma.
That's okay.
I don't really have much in my purse. Oh, let's see. Hand sanitizer? It's lavender.
I'm good. Seriously.
Let me check this pocket. Oh, mints?
Really? I'm fine.
Oh, I have raisins. I'm a mom. Wait one sec. I've got cupcakes in the car.
It's our best iPhone offer ever. Switch to T-Mobile. Get a new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence on us. No trade-in needed. We'll even pay off your phone up to $800.
With 24 monthly bill credits, new line, $100 plus a month on experience beyond finance agreement, $999.99 and qualifying ported. For well-qualified plus tax and $10 connection charge, payout via virtual prepaid card allowed 15 days. Credits end and balance due if you pay off early or cancel. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Hard work cleaning storm destruction made harder by grief over several deaths, including after 10 inches of heavy rain in just a few hours overnight in central Kerr County, Texas, caused flash flooding while people were sleeping.
We didn't know this flood was coming.